Today on Real Life Radio.
Our God is a redeeming God, and He loves to take things that are broken and He makes them all new. He could have made an entire new human race, but He didn't. He set out to redeem.
This is Real Life. Welcome to Real Life Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. Fear does not have to control your life, not when Christ is at the center of it. This month, we're featuring a powerful and deeply personal book, Living Fearless in Christ, by Hedia Miramati. Once a devout follower of Islam and a high-level attorney in Washington, Hedia had everything except peace until she encountered the living Jesus. Choosing to follow Him cost her everything, her career, her status, and her place in the world she once knew. But what she gained was far greater: freedom, identity, and a fearless faith that cannot be shaken. Her story will challenge you, encourage you, and remind you of the power of the gospel to transform lives. Living Fearless in Christ is more than a testimony. It's a call to bold surrender. Available for the month of February for a gift of any amount at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com, where real stories point you to real truth and real life in Christ. On today's edition of Real Life Radio, Pastor Jack, now in a message called What We Really Need When We Really Hurt, Part 3, continues his series called Anchored, a study in 1 Peter. Now, the Apostle Peter was a disciple of Jesus Christ who later on became the leader of the first church. Peter understood the times in which they were. Christians were under the constant threat of persecution, but Peter also understood how big God really is, and he knew in his heart that the Lord would take care of them. Previously, we learned that there is no other way to fellowship with Jesus on a close personal level than to also experience His suffering. Since the birth of the first century church, the gospel of Jesus has been under attack. The world hates the fact that we can find joy in every situation and that we have a peace that defies any understanding. That whatever we're going through, we know that God loves us and has a plan for our lives, and that our suffering is not without purpose. So today, Pastor Jack tells us that God transforms us from the inside out. As true believers, our focus is on perfection, with the understanding that purity and holiness comes from a place of love. God takes our brokenness and redeems it. We no longer desire the things of this world, but honor the things of God and His glory. And now, with his message called What We Really Need When We Really Hurt, Part 3, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
1 Peter chapter 4, this will be the final installment, but it's going to be a little bit different because of some things that are heavy on my heart. So I want to talk with you today. I'll probably sometimes get into the preaching, teaching mode, but I want to speak to you today regarding this closing portion of 1 Peter chapter 4. And I know it's been a while since we've been together. And we've been looking at a message entitled, What We Really Need When We Really Hurt. And so in this study, Peter's addressing the body of believers, as you know, that have been dispersed throughout great portions of the Roman Empire because of persecution. Because the government in which they lived in had taken a completely wrong but aggressive view against first century Christianity. In fact, if you'd like to do a study on your own, you can see how, for example, the Emperor Nero and his propaganda machine, very much like Hitler and his propaganda machine, coerced the populace of Rome to go up against the Christians. There was a lot going wrong in Rome, and so Nero turned and blamed the Christians. And so it led to about 200 years of very ugly, very violent, anti-Christ, anti-Christian sentiment in the Roman Empire. And of course, out of that came the great persecutions and the great attacks against Christianity. You should know, if you don't know, that history for the last 2,000 years ebbs and flows regarding that activity. Christians are the primary target of persecution around the world. I'm not telling you that to bum you out. I'm telling you that because that's the way it is. According to the Bible, You and I who are Christians, are we Christians? Raise your hand if you're a Christian. Don't raise your hand if you're not. That'd be lying right in front of God. Not good. So I'm not forcing you. I'm just saying. We're at odds with this world in how things are viewed. Not based on our opinion, but based on the word of God. You belong to a kingdom now, the Bible says, that resides in you. This is by the power of the Holy Spirit. The Bible says you are now pilgrims. You were once, you and I together, we were once citizens of this world. And the Bible says that was not a good thing. You and I marched, walked, lived, and indulged ourselves in the appetites of this world. And then Christ, in some way, shape, or form, inserted himself, introduced himself to our lives personally. There is no corporate conversion of the believer. I hope you know that. It doesn't matter if you go to a harvest crusade or you go to some big event. There is no group salvation. Do you understand that? You may have a group membership to Costco, but that doesn't happen for heaven. You have got to come to heaven on your own, by yourself, and that's by coming to the Lord Jesus Christ. It's vitally important you understand that. And when that happens, God transforms your life, and he does it from the inside out. And so Peter, in fact, I'll read it to you, but we want to focus on verses 17 to 19 in what today is a little bit of an unorthodox approach to our study. Because I do not want to be preaching or teaching you in the normal form for this reason. The fact that I just got back early this morning. I would have gotten back yesterday afternoon, but the airlines had a different agenda. I got back earlier this morning and from Washington, D.C. and from Canada. And I saw some things and I heard some things and I watched some things that I would be remiss of it if I didn't address them today regarding the scriptures. So it definitely applies to where we're at. But let me read to you, and you can follow along in verse 12, chapter 4, 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 12. Remember this from our previous studies some weeks ago. Beloved, do not think it a strange thing concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you as though some strange thing happened to you. But rejoice to the extent that you are partakers of Christ's suffering, that when his glory is revealed, you may also be glad with exceeding joy. I'll keep reading in a moment, but look at these oxymoronic statements. Joy in the midst of suffering, pain in the midst of glory. Remarkable, the Christian life. Verse 14, if you are reproached for the name of Christ, blessed or happy are you, for the spirit of glory and of God rest upon you. On their part, that is an unbelieving world, he is blasphemed. But on your part, he is glorified. Verse 15, but let none of you suffer as a murderer or as a thief, an evildoer, or as a busybody in other people's business. Yet if anyone suffers as a Christian, let him not be ashamed. The word is, do not be put to shame because you're mocked or rejected or made fun of, but let him glorify God in this matter. Here we are, verse 17. For the time has come for judgment to begin at the house of God. And if it begins with us first, what will be the end of those who do not obey the gospel of God? Now, if the righteous one, the believer, you, the Christian, Christ follower, is scarcely saved, where will the ungodly and the sinner appear? Verse 19 closes it out. Therefore, let those who suffer according to the will of God commit their souls to him in doing good as to a faithful creator. Tremendous theology by the apostle, by Peter. And so he's announcing to us that as believers in this world, there is this existence of you and I as Christians. Right now in the 21st century, in fact, let's be honest, what you and I just read a moment ago has been there since the first century. And now you and I today are 21 centuries out from the writing of this. And of course, it's the Word of God So God's word is eternal. The truth is just as true today as it was back then. Are you with me on that? You understand that? So he's speaking to us. It's the Holy Spirit speaking to us that you and I, as followers of Jesus, you and I are aliens in this world. We technically do not belong here anymore. The Holy Spirit who dwells in the life of a true believer, and I have to underscore this, the Holy Spirit dwells inside the life of a true believer. This is important because many people believe in God, but the Holy Spirit doesn't reside in them. You can be extremely religious. In fact, your piety can make an actual believer's piety look like a joke. You can be so diligent and so legalistic and such a rule keeper that you can make a real true Christian look like a spiritual bozo because you're so much better than they are. And yet, isn't it shocking to find out that the Bible does not say that's how you make it to heaven? Now, don't get me wrong. Should a Christian be stellar in their conduct? Absolutely. We are not ones to write off our sloppy agape, as some put it. We're not to be sloppy lovers of God. We are to be diligent and we are to be committed. But listen, as we talk about today and what we need to talk about today, the believer in our culture and our age, I believe, is going to be put in short order, not far from now, is going to be put through a time of testing. Now, I want to be very clear with what I'm saying. When he begins to tell us that there's a time coming, that judgment must first begin at the house of God, friends, don't think that God is like sharpening his whip and preparing a scowl on his face to single out believers, to beat them and to terrorize them. And we want to be careful about that because not all of it, but there was a lot of puritanical preaching that caused people to just cower in fear regarding God rather than understanding the loving heart of God. And we miss, if we have the concept that God is some very disgruntled deity in heaven, that has a whip and he's just waiting to beat you every time you step out of line, you've got the wrong picture of the God of the Bible. You need to understand something. He is holy by nature. He cannot be anything but. Listen, it was a big deal, my friend, for 2,000 years ago for God to become a human being. He has always existed. He's eternal. He dwells outside of any realm of physics. He is the forever God. He's not a human. He's spirit. He's absolutely holy and pure in all of his ways. He cannot sin. He doesn't have that nature. Everything he does is perfect. He's the God of the Bible.
You're listening to Real Life with Pastor Jack Hibbs. To learn more about this ministry or to catch up on some previous episodes, go to jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. And now, let's get back to today's message. Once again, here's Pastor Jack.
Everything he does is perfect. He's the God of the Bible. But the Bible tells us that he came and inserted himself into the grim reality of this world in which he made, but man crashed it. Adam and Eve drove it right into a wall. And instead of God wiping his hands of this creation of his, which, you know, think about it. Wouldn't it have been easier for him to just go, Adam and Eve, you knuckleheads, why did you go ahead and do that? Well, annihilation for you, and I'll just start over. Here's the amazing thing about the nature of God, and I believe that forever and eternity, we're going to be studying this nature of his. That is, he's a redemptive God. He's a redeeming God. He takes things that are completely broken, and he takes them on almost, can I say it this way? It sounds kind of terrible to put it this way because I think it lowers what I'm trying to say. But he takes broken things on as a project, like somebody might take on a car restoration project. God takes you on, and instead of him giving you a self-help program, the God of the Bible takes you on and he convicts you of sin. He shows you your depravity because, you know, we are self-deceived people. We think we're something in our own eyes. Someone once said you need to keep in touch with yourself because you're like a legend in your own mind. Aren't I great? And then we confront God, or I should say we get a glimpse of God, and then we realize what Peter said, Lord, depart from me, for I'm a sinful man. And the moment the human heart comes at an understanding that I'm not God, Shirley MacLaine is not God, but God is God, that we fall on our face before him and we cry out to him in repentant mercies and, oh God, save us. Our God is a redeeming God and he loves to take things that are broken and he makes them all new. He could have made an entire new human race, but he didn't. He set out to redeem two human beings in all of creation. The first two, and they crashed the whole show. God could have started over. God chose to redeem instead, which means the very nature of God is the fact that he's a redemptive God. He wants to redeem. You and I, when things break, we throw them away. God says when things break, he restores them, he renews them, he makes them new. And the Bible says for the Christian, the Christ follower, he takes our old lives and he washes away by the blood of Christ, according to the Bible, the righteous for the unrighteous. He washes away our sins before him. Listen, I have to say before him, because look, you and I, we're very keenly aware of our sins, aren't we? But there's a day coming when your redemption will be complete. That is the day that you drop dead as a believer, or the rapture happens, I hope, today. And in that moment, when redemption is complete, the redemptive act of God is accomplished. He takes things broken and he renews them. He reconstructs them. But the Bible says that God places his Holy Spirit in you and he begins to go to work from the inside out. That's why, listen, friends, listen, you may be a very religious person here today. You may cross all of the T's and dot the I's of the religious requirements of your denomination or of your persuasion. And by your standard, you're doing pretty well. You got a little booklet. You did this, you did this, you did this. You're working on number 6, but you got number 7 down and you're going to start number 10 next time. And listen, religion loves that. But God doesn't know anything of that. The Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And you would think if we were writing this story, we would read it and write it, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And the next thing you would hear was a big flushing sound of humanity going down a hole. God doesn't do that. He redeems. And in 1 Peter, we've been in this chapter for a few weeks and I've been away from you for a while, but I want to dial down on something that is going to lead us into an area that I'm going to ask in advance for your patience. I'm going to ask you to forgive me in advance for my passion for where I've been and what I've experienced this last week away from you. But it is this, that the God of the Bible is a God who has determined that time, as we know it in the physical realm, at some point, time will run out for you and I as individuals, and time will run out for creation itself. When God begins to reinsert himself in a very tangible way in this world, and according to the Bible, you and I are 21 centuries removed from the beginning of when Christ died on the cross for our sins, and God is about to move again. He's about to reinsert himself in a very powerful way. But before we do that, church, and talk about some things which you might think are quite odd today, I want to remind you of something. Verse 17, for the time has come for judgment to begin at the house of God. God is saying, you know what? It's time for my people to get right. And it's time for my church to be beautiful. Judgment must begin at the house of God. This is not a nasty, mean, tyrannical God. This is not the God of other religions that are pacing back and forth with vengeance in his eyes. Or their eyes. This is God saying, it's time for my people to get cleaned up for the next act. It's time for them. Look, when you go to something nice, don't you get dressed up for it? No? No, you don't? It's kind of true. We live in Southern California. We don't get dressed up for anything. I love it here, by the way. We can go to a formal thing somewhere, and we're California. We can show in with a new pair of shorts and flip. If it's a really big event, we'll get some new flip-flops for the event. Don't you love living here? I mean, apart from the government, it's great to live here. But pray, vote, and then pray, will you, please? Okay? But listen, God is wanting to do a work. God is wanting to do a work with us. And he's announcing to us that it's a time that judgment has come for God and his church, and God wants to clean up his people for the next act. According to the Bible, the next act is for God's people to meet God face to face. It could happen at any time. I believe the Bible teaches that God came back for his people in a collective order called the harpazo in Greek, or the rapture. It could happen at any time. It's without warning. It's sudden. But Peter's announcing there's a day coming when we'll stand before God. And we need to be ready. And I believe God's getting his church ready. He's certainly getting the church ready all around the world. You may or may not know, but Christians are dying wholesale around the world right now at never recorded numbers such as this. An estimated 300,000 Christians a year, and it's increasing, are dying for their faith around the world. And that number increases every year. In America, it's a little bit of a different thing right now. Right now, many believers are being lulled to sleep with apathy and complacency. And the Bible yet here tells us that time has come for judgment to begin at the house of God. This is a good thing. God is saying, I got to get you ready for a trip. There's a trip coming. It's time you get ready.
Let's go.
There's something coming up, and you need to be ready. And God is saying it's time for this judgment. And what does that mean? It means that God is going up and down the aisle, as it were, of this church, or up and down the aisle of your home, or up and down the aisle of your mind as a believer. And he's saying, all right, let's whip some things into order here. Let's get rid of that. Let's get rid of this. Let's add some more of this. Let's keep focused on that. Let's get rid of the other thing. Are you with me? Yeah. It's what he does. We all do it. We do that in life. You have kids? How many of you have kids? You do it all the time with your kids. Do that, sit down, don't do that, make sure you do the other. Why do you do that? Because you love them. But I want to draw your attention to the fact that he announces to us that judgment must first begin at the house of God, and if it begins with us first, what will be the end of those who do not obey? Notice, do not obey the gospel of God. This is a tremendous statement. Peter's announcing by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit that there are those who know God's word, but they do not obey it. What are they? They are fair weather believers? I don't know. They are wheat and chaff, different, separated? I don't know. They are those who believe for a while, but when difficulty comes, they give up? I don't know. But there's a group, according to Peter, that what's happening here is that there are those who, when God begins to go to work, there are people that are weeded out. And they're not weeded out because of something they don't perform or do. They're weeded out because their faith is not real. Church, you know that fiery trials, the difficult trials of life, perfect our faith. But I can say that theologically, you could answer the quiz theologically in a course, but unless you live it, you won't know it.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Life Radio, with his message called What We Really Need When We Really Hurt, Part 3. Thanks for spending time with us today. You know, our prayer is that you put all that you are and all that you have in the hands of God, because that's the place it's always going to be secure. What We Really Need When We Really Hurt, Part 3, is part of Pastor Jack's series called Anchored, a study in 1 Peter. It's a series that takes us through the life and times of the Apostle Peter, whose love for Jesus Christ carried him through some great persecution, and whose compassion for others still inspires us today. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Life Radio.
Your week is packed. You're running on empty, and sometimes Sunday already feels like a distant memory by Wednesday. That's exactly why Real Life Devotions exist. Each week, Pastor Jack Hibbs brings you a short, but powerful moment in God's Word, designed to encourage, equip, and refocus your heart. It's not another podcast or a long sermon. It's a few meaningful minutes that meet you right where you are. Whether you're on a commute, going for a walk, or you just need a reset in the middle of your day, Real Life Devotions are ready when you are. Fresh encouragement, straight from the Scripture. And it's all just one click away. Check out the newest devotion now at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. Your place for real faith, real encouragement, and real life. That's Real Life Devotions at jackhibbs.com.
This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Life Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Life Radio.